Welcome to the Business Coach Podcast, an advice-oriented series that tackles the top issues and opportunities facing Canada's small businesses. I'm your host, Ian Portsmouth, the editor of Profit Magazine, and we've developed this podcast in cooperation with BMO, Bank of Montreal. Every Canadian business and business person has the opportunity to join a chamber of commerce, and many do. But for the many that don't, what are they missing out on? Valuable opportunities for networking, professional development, and influencing public policy are among the benefits of belonging to a chamber of commerce. Joining me to reveal more on how chamber membership can help you and your business is Valerie Payne, President and CEO of the Halifax Chamber of Commerce. Valerie, welcome to the Business Coach Podcast.
Thank you, Ian.
So, Valerie, what exactly is a chamber of commerce for those unfamiliar with the inner workings of a chamber of commerce? And what can you tell me about the Halifax Chamber?
Certainly. A chamber of commerce in Canada is a voluntary, usually not-for-profit business association. These are incorporated under the federal legislation called the Boards of Trade Act. So some are called boards of trade, some are called chambers of commerce, but basically all are the same thing. Board of trade usually denotes an older organization. Chamber of commerce usually means it's, you know, more recently formed, perhaps, and I'm thinking of 50, 75 years. And the reason I speak in that context is the Halifax Chamber of Commerce has roots going back to 1750, when Halifax was a British garrison town. At the same time the city was formed, so was the first board of trade. And over the years, it went from Board of Trade to Chamber of Commerce and back and forth a few times, I guess, depending on the need in the economy at the time. Businesses can join the Chamber of Commerce if they so desire, and it's to give them a common voice primarily, but also to give them access to networking services, programs, education, group buying opportunities, and so on. Having said that, chambers in Canada, and I'll just speak to Canada for the moment, might look slightly different depending where they are. While all of them are voluntary, not-for-profit, and formed under the Boards of Trade Act, some of them, for example, their primary role might be in promoting tourism. Some of them have sidelines of business, such as running in certain jurisdictions in Ontario, running motor vehicle registry offices. You know, it sounds very strange. In Halifax, we're more of a pure business advocacy group that offers networking, education, and leadership to the community. So we don't even have, for example, a tourism committee of our chamber. But yet some chambers, depending on the need of their community, might be primarily focused on tourism. So they can look and feel a little bit different, but some of the chambers or boards of trade in the larger cities like Halifax, Montreal, Vancouver, and so on would look very similar.
What are the primary differences between chambers at the local level, like the Halifax Chamber of Commerce, and the provincial chambers of commerce and the Canadian Chamber of Commerce?
Certainly. The local chambers, and that's exactly how they're referred to, are made up of businesses usually within a geographic area, and they ideally would represent the face of the business community. So in Canada, that would mean primarily smaller businesses as the grounding of the organization, but also represents the larger, mid-size and larger companies as well. When you start moving into the provincial chambers, what those are more an association of the chambers themselves. So, you know, in Nova Scotia, for example, the provincial chamber might be made up of chambers such as the Halifax Chamber, the Truro Chamber, the Cape Breton Chamber of Commerce, etc. And the same goes across the country. The Canadian Chamber of Commerce, of which we're also a member, is a national group that's made up of a combination of the two. They are community and local chambers, provincial chambers. That gives them their representation because then they can say they represent so many chambers of commerce, representing so many businesses across the country. But they also have large corporate national companies who are members as well directly. So they have a similar structure with board of directors and committees and work with policy and lobbying and advocacy, but usually on national and international issues. So they also support the local and provincial chambers who may not have resources that some of the larger cities like Halifax have. So there's very small chambers, the national chambers can offer them support, particularly on the national and international issues.
So the typical small or mid-sized business is going to belong to its local chamber of commerce.
Yes.
Now, who can join a chamber? Is it the organizations or individuals and organizations?
It's both. For example, in the very small micro businesses, often there's just one person who is in that business, or one or two people. So you have that, and it might be also people who have retired and want to keep in touch with the business community and what's going on. So they might like to keep involved as an individual member and not even be associated with a business, so to speak. But the vast majority are the businesses themselves, and that's how we count our membership, is by the businesses themselves. And then within that, there could be, for example, if it was a larger company, there could be 1, 2, 20, 50, you know, however many representatives who are also members of the chamber.
And if anyone additional wanted to join, they would have to do it on their own dime, correct?
No, they could also join as an additional representative of the company.
At an additional cost?
Usually. And again, these things vary over the countries, but there is a certain commonality throughout.
So let's talk about the business case for belonging to a chamber of commerce. Earlier on, you mentioned networking. I think we've all been to networking events at our local chamber of commerce. You talked about various types of services. What kinds of services will a chamber of commerce offer its business members?
Well, I can certainly speak to what we do, and I think this might have a variation of a theme across the country. But for example, we offer insurance coverage that is purchased as a group buy across the country. So small business sometimes would find it difficult to get the coverage that they want to begin with. And then if they could get it, sometimes it can be prohibitively expensive when you have one or two or three employees to get what you want when you're purchasing a loan. But if you go through the Chamber of Commerce, they use the joint buying power across the country. So that's a very good product that a lot of chamber members get, they really find that useful and helpful. There's also joint purchasing in things like fuel and any kinds of commodities that you might think that are associated with running a business that various chambers offer. The other kind of services that we do would be educational services, helping people understand business issues and communicating and business writing to them, explaining issues, telling them what's coming, what to watch for, how things might impact their business. Representing them to government is a big piece. You know, the smaller to mid-sized business just doesn't have the time or resources to deal with government in a way that can really have an impact, and the Chamber of Commerce does that for them. And the networking that you alluded to, you know, we assume everybody can network, but, you know, it's not, you're not born with that ability. And when you come into a Chamber of Commerce, what we do at least is we teach you how to network. We teach you how to make the best of your time and how to do it professionally. And it also is a bit of a license to stick out your hand, introduce yourself, introduce your business, and pass along your business card and expect the same from the other person. So it makes that kind of behavior acceptable and encouraged.
Now, let's talk a little bit about intangible benefits. Do businesses that join a Chamber of Commerce benefit from any kind of halo effect?
Yes, they do. And in fact, there's research that supports this halo effect. And what we mean by that is if you're a member of the Chamber of Commerce, you're more likely to be seen to be a good business, a good part of the community, and, you know, have a better brand generally. And I think it's to do with human nature, that people like to see that, wow, a member of the Chamber of Commerce, you must be a good and responsible business, likely someone with good corporate responsibility and good ethics and those sorts of things. So, yes, ideally, benefits accrue to those who are members of the chamber. And you know what? In fact, that's reflected in reality. What we do have is people and companies who join the chamber are people who want to come together to make their community a better place to live and work and play.
And that brings me to the advocacy role of chambers of commerce and the influence that they have on public policy. If I'm an individual member of a chamber of commerce, what is my role in shaping those policy directives, and how involved can I become?
Well, it's almost like a menu type approach. You can become as involved as you want, or you can simply be a member who pays fees and supports the work of chamber staff and other volunteers. The advocacy role is huge, particularly in our community in Halifax, and it's really a big portion of what we do, where we speak for business on behalf of business, where we take the time to understand issues and how issues will impact our businesses short-term and long-term, and whether they're local issues or provincial, national, or international, and getting our membership up to speed and understanding, and then showing them what we do on their behalf in terms of dealing with the city government, whether it's on things to do with, you know, service at the city and municipal level, taxation, et cetera, or the provincial level with provincial legislation that affects business, or the national level. So the chamber in Halifax, for example, and I know it's the same as several across the country, are looked to by governments at all levels to participate in discussions oftentimes before legislation is brought down or before decisions are made, so that we can have a good, solid discussion about, you know, what's a reasonable approach and how to lessen any negative impact, and in fact, hopefully in some cases, to improve the loss of business as it relates to government.
Well, Valerie, on behalf of business owners across the country, I want to thank you and all of your fellow chamber heads for the great work that you do, and I want to thank you for joining the Business Coach podcast.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
Valerie Payne is president and CEO of the Halifax Chamber of Commerce. That's it for this episode of the Business Coach podcast. Be sure to check out other episodes, which you can download from BMO.com/coach, ProfitGuide.com, and iTunes. For other tools to help you build your business, visit the BMO Smart Steps for Business community at BMO.com/smartbusinessowners. Until next time, I'm Ian Fortsmith, the editor of Profit Magazine, wishing you continued success.